This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Nation News Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hello.
Also joined by George Flores at George C Flores 22 on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, so I'm not even gonna try and bury the lead here. Tariq Black for a biennial exception. Let's go ahead.
You have to stop doing this.
the Rockets are gonna sell their team. I mean, Alexi Alexander put the team on sale today. There was a big announcement that was gonna happen at 2 p.m. Everybody kind of speculated new uniforms, you know, maybe possibly a sponsorship patch. And you know, I was kind of waiting for this to whatever sponsor was gonna happen. You know, I was gonna find out and go to sleep because I was really, really tired. And as soon as the announcement came, it turned out Tad Brown came up there and said that Alexi Alexander wanted to sell the team. This is big. This is possibly the biggest news of the Rockets offseason. I think it is. It's bigger than the Chris Paul trade. It's bigger than the James Harden extension. NBA owners are really, really important. They're the most important part of your organization, no matter what. If your ownership or your owner is crap, like, you're not going to go anywhere. We've seen this with James Dolan. We've seen this with other organizations. You need a stable owner.
I love, by the way, this is James Dolan and then other organizations in the tiering of worst owners.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Gilbert, whatever. You know, like, James Dolan's definitely at the top, right, of crappy owners. And, if you don't have a stable owner in this league, you're just not going to survive. You're not going to get very far. The best teams in the NBA have stable ownership. Peter Holt with the Spurs, Mark Cuban with the Mavericks, I think it's Mickey Arison with the Heat. You know, I mean, like, you go down the line. I mean,
we have to say Joe Lacob or somebody will send us death threats, I think. So,
yeah,
Joe Lacob
with the Warriors. You know, like, whatever. You go down the line. Every NBA team has every successful NBA team has a stable owner. And we could have said that about the Rockets up until today. Right now everything's up in the air now. Les has been the owner for 24 years. The Rockets haven't had to worry about that. Everything's been good upstairs. Whatever has happened with the team downstairs, everything upstairs has been stable, right? I think we can all agree on that. For the last 10 years, Daryl Morey's been the general manager. Leslie Alexander's been the owner. That's been the mode of operation. Basketball ops was solely up to Daryl Morey. Les stayed out of it. He certainly had influence, right? Like, last offseason, he wanted Mike D'Antoni to be the coach, and he's been chasing Mike D'Antoni for a while. He's wanted to play this progressive style of ball. He's had influence, but he's let Daryl take care of things. And now everything's kind of up in the air, and this is pretty big.
Yeah, it's the end of an era. I mean, not right this second. Obviously, they didn't come out and announce a sale had been made, just that they're putting the for sale sign out in front of the property. So it's going to be a while, but now we know it's going to be a while, and that's a big and kind of sad change.
Yeah, and the timing of it is super weird, too. I don't think there could be any more optimism in the Rockets as an organization, or as, like, in their stability, and now this bombshell gets dropped on us today. It was just, it's weird. It's weird timing.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like if you're going to break up with somebody, break up with somebody after they get some good news, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's like, in some ways, this is the perfect selling point, right? You extended James Harden. You extended Daryl Morey. You had a lot of positive press this summer after acquiring Chris Paul. A lot of positive press, like exceedingly so. And you know, the value of this organization is at an all time high. Yeah, I mean, you have two superstars, a great market in China. This is probably the team in China right now. And like, I mean, this is a global organization. I mean, you got to figure it's a big market. You got to figure that buyers are going to be really, really interested. Local buyers. I mean, there's been some names thrown around, as well as ownership groups that have been waiting for a team to be open for years. And now a team's open. It's one of the five best organizations in basketball. And that's pretty insane. I mean, it's a great opportunity for an ownership group to come in and, you know, swipe at this opportunity. And now Ted Brown, according to reports, Tad Brown's going to come in. He's going to oversee the sale of this team, along with some of Leslie Alexander's representatives, and some management. You know, like, they're going to sell the team, and they're going to vet. The vetting process starts, right? Like, Adam Silver and Tad Brown are going to vet these potential suitors, and they're going to find the potential would-be owner for this team. And they have to get this right. They got it right the last time, right? They have to get this right. Wow. We just talked about the start of the podcast, how important an NBA owner is for the health of your organization. And, you know, like, if you don't have that guy, that, you know, that stable personality, that, you know, person who's willing to spend, the person who's willing to pay the luxury tax, I mean, you're kind of at a loss. And at the same time, you can't have someone who's too involved. You have to find that right mix, right? Like, you can't have a Vivek Ranadive who wants to control everything because he thinks he, you know, by coaching his daughter's AAU team, he can, you know, manage an NBA team. Like, right, you can't do that here, right? Like, you have to find someone who, and it's also deep pockets. You got to find someone who has deep pockets and, you know, who's willing to pay, and that's really key here.
Yeah, you know who'd be really good as an owner is Leslie Alexander.
Yeah, should give him a call.
Yeah, so if I can kind of like psychoanalyze Leslie Alexander for a minute here, my thoughts about this, especially about the timing, it says two things to me. One is that, as we sort of mentioned, this is the right time to sell. The Valley's team has never been higher. It's set up going forward. Like it's not just that the team is doing very well and that it's a hot commodity, but that they've kind of set it up such that you just slot a new owner in there. Like, if the new owner is willing to just sit back, put his feet on the desk, and let things roll, it's going to roll. The team is set up for the future. I cannot think of any better situation. If you're ever going to sell this team, you sell it right now. This is exactly the right time if you're Les Alexander. And if you've been, I mean, presumably he knows that he, you know, is not going to be on the earth for 100 more years, right? So he's ready to move on at this point. I think also to psychoanalyze a little bit deeper, you can read into this partially that he wanted to wait until a time that he knew the team was going to be taken care of moving forward. I think it's not too outlandish to suggest that he has a real deep affection for this team in the city. I think that the timing is right for him, not only for getting the biggest revenue, but also if you want to be sure that the team is going to keep on its current trajectory for a while longer. With the extensions to Morey and Harden, with D'Antoni being under contract for a few more years, I think the signs are in place that even with a new owner, there's a good chance that they'll just kind of stay the course at least for a bit. And more importantly, for a new owner, they can know that they can just stay the course. So if he does care about getting money and also cares about the city of Houston and the team of the Rockets being in good hands, this is the right time to move on during maximum stability. They're able to weather this storm right now better than any other time.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point. You can just slot in an owner basically who in the first few years just has no problem paying the luxury tax, right? Because you've got Harden locked up to $250 million until 2023. You're going to want to bring back Chris Paul and potentially Carmelo Anthony and whoever comes in. So there's going to be a tax bill. And essentially, you kind of just want the new owner to do to only have to deal with that at least for the first few years, because it, I mean, as we've mentioned, the stability of the Rockets has been incredible for the last 10 years. So I think just keeping that kind of stability, it will be easier, as you pointed out, Forrest.
Yeah, and like, just to talk about the stability, man, like, a lot of fans don't even know Leslie Alexander's name just because he's so out of it. Like, as in, like, they don't have to worry about it. Like, it's always just been assumed that ownership was fine. And like, you got to a point in your franchise where you had less Harden and Morey locked up for at least the next 6 years, and that showed real like Spurs like stability. And this kind of throws a wrench into it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad wrench. It's just, you know, like, it's up in the air. Like, we have no idea what's gonna happen. Like, for all we know, this next owner is gonna be like Steve Ballmer, like, right? We have no idea who this new owner is gonna be. I think the point you brought up about Les having a real affection for this team is very valid. I mean, this is an owner that did not want to tank. I mean, forever. He refused to tank. He did not want to lose. He wanted to be a winning organization. He knew that would sell free agents. He knew that there was a way to get a superstar without tanking. Granted, it was very difficult. He had the foresight to hire Daryl Morey, who was at the forefront of sports analytics and the way the game is supposed to be played now. You know, you're talking about an 80-year-old owner who is very much forward-thinking and you kind of have to find the modern day version of that. And you have to find someone with deep pockets. I mean, I can't stress that enough. You have to find someone who is not only willing to pay the luxury tax, but in 2 years when this team is going to be in the repeater tax, like that's going to be a hell of a bill, man. And like, you have to find someone who's willing to pay that steep of a price to keep this ship going.
All right. Let me throw this at you. Ownership group led by Yao Ming.
I actually looked up Yao Ming's net worth today, $120 million. So it's not out of the question that he could perhaps form an ownership group, you know, and buy this team. It's going to take a lot. He's going to have to find some deep pockets himself. I think the fan base would be all in on that.
Definitely, yeah.
They would embrace it to the fullest. I mean, Yao Ming's, I mean, to this day, no one has any bitter feelings towards Yao. Everybody loves Yao. Great personality. If you're talking about a person to share, you know, to sell the heir to the throne to, I mean, what better person than Yao Ming? And I mean, like, someone who could potentially make the Rockets' foothold in East Asia even bigger. I mean, and that's even hard to imagine. Like, can you imagine a team owned by Yao Ming, the amount of marketing power that can have in China? I mean, that's insane. And, like, again, like, an owner that would probably stay out of the way. He has a relationship with Daryl Morey. He has a relationship with everybody in the front office. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's definitely a pipe dream, but what a dream. And he's also an unbelievably smart guy, too. I absolutely would trust Yao Ming with the keys to all kinds of franchises. Like, he has already shown that he can run things.
Yeah, The Shanghai Sharks. I think he owns that team, too, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he already has ownership in, you know, some CBA teams, and he has experience in kind of being an owner, right? And granted, being an NBA owner is totally different, especially in this new cap environment, in this competitive state of the league. I mean, you got to figure that's got to mean something, and that's got to, you know, that's got to count for something. And like, that's the kind of perfect owner that everybody would be on board with. Not just the fans, the media would be on board with. Everybody loves Yao. It's not even just the fan base. The media, everybody loved covering Yao. Like, he was just a really nice, sharp guy. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, there's been some other names. You know, owner of the Landry restaurants, right? I'm sorry, what's that chain in Vegas called? The Golden Nugget, right? Like that's been a name that's been thrown out there, and you know, like, you can go down the line. I mean, Houston's a huge market, and they have guys with deep pockets.
How much is Bun B worth?
Not enough to buy this team.
No, not enough.
No, but I mean, hey, Beyonce. I mean, like, you can just keep on going down. There's a lot of celebrities from Houston. You got to figure there's a lot of ownership groups that aren't in Houston that would be willing to come to Houston because of how great a market it is, how lucrative an opportunity this is. I mean, NBA teams don't go on sale every day. They just don't. I mean, like, everybody waits for opportunities like this. Steve Ballmer waited for years before he could buy an NBA team, and before he bought the Clippers, right? I mean, you got to – this kind of stuff, I mean, like, everybody who wants to own a team probably wants to own this team, I would say.
So – I do need to bring up one thing. This thing is important, and we can't put off talking about this. They're going to try to make sure as best as they can that one thing doesn't happen. And we all agree that we need to make sure it doesn't happen, but it is still a non-zero chance. They cannot let someone buy the team who intends to relocate the team at a future date.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like... Yeah. I think that's kind of a zero possibility. Their contract ends in 2033. I'm not sure if there's any buyout dates in there, but I mean, like, it doesn't seem practical. I mean, this is a huge market. I mean, this is a really profitable place to be.
Oh, it would be ridiculous to move the team, but, like, I don't know. Yeah, people make all kinds of decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, there are a lot of ownership groups that are dead set on moving a team to Seattle, right? I mean, that's
my worry. Yeah,
there's a lot of ownership groups that really want to move a team to Seattle. The thing is, like, I think those ownership groups are kind of waiting on the small market team that could swallow a move like that, like a New Orleans.
they're just like eyeing the Kings or something.
Yeah. They're circling like teams like the Kings, like New Orleans, like the Bobcats, the Hornets, right? Like teams like that. Small market teams that would probably get the okay from the commissioner, and they have a whole bunch of other stuff. They don't have a building to move into yet. Like that's been a big ordeal in Seattle. Like their ownership group. Like even if they get a team, finding the requisite place to play in, it's pretty difficult now. I mean, like they can't just play in that old arena. I mean, that's the reason they moved out. I mean,
unless you get a Steve Ballmer who just builds a new one on his own dime.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, where would you build that? Seattle's a pretty developed city, man. Like, you would kind of have to find a new plot of land and a whole bunch of money to make it happen. I mean, hey, these ownership groups are pretty committed. I mean, you read the stories. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I feel pretty secure in saying that I don't think the team would be moved from Houston.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to move from one of the biggest markets in basketball, so...
It's an extremely low chance, but it's not zero. Yeah, and as long as it's not zero, I'm going to be wary of it.
No, I mean, you're right to address it, right? I mean, anything's possible, right? Like, it's definitely on the table. But yeah, I mean, this is a big topic. We had to discuss it. I mean, they have to get this right. They have to make sure they vet this out correctly. You can't have an owner that comes in there and wants to change everything, right? Because everything right now... seems good. I like the way things are. Like, I don't want to change it. Daryl Morey's a fantastic general manager. James Harden's a great piece to build around. You have the requisite parts around it that, you know, you would assume Daryl Morey's going to continue to build on that. And you have this whole Melo deal that's still pending, right? Like, you have a lot of things going right for you. I would not touch it.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest worry, right? Like, that a new owner, even if they're a pretty good owner, might just say, well, I want to make this my team. I don't want to just inherit a team from somebody else. I want to show that I can do this on my own, and I can, like, someone might want to clean house and, like, hire all their own guys, which would be the worst thing that could happen, to bulldoze this fantastic structure already in place.
Which is why this Tad Brown vetting everything makes me feel a lot more secure about this. When I read that, you know, it was a sigh of relief. If it was just Les, I mean, you would think he'd try to sell to the highest bidder, but I mean, you never know. I mean, Les cares about this organization. I think that's pretty clear. I mean, the reason he's wanted it to win so badly and be so aggressive, and be so forward thinking is because he gives a damn. So, I mean, you would think, Les and Tad Brown and, you know, his representatives, like they, I would think they'd vet these guys out pretty thoroughly.
What does Les even need this money for anyway? I suspect that he's just kind of done. Like, I think he's old, and he's just like, I don't want to deal with this anymore, right? That's got to be what it is. Like, he's just ready to move on. Because like, what does, like, an 80-year-old guy need with a couple of billion dollars? Like, what's he gonna buy in the meantime?
I mean, retirement, I guess. Let me go ahead.
It's so weird because of how, like, enthusiastic he seems like during the playoffs. And I mean, I guess it's the playoffs to get caught up, but he was up, you know, taking fines for yelling at refs, just, and then you don't think that he'd be checked out, but apparently he was just kind of checked out from the whole process.
And you know, it kind of makes sense because the last few press conferences, I noticed that Leslie Alexander wasn't there. And that was kind of a big thing, because at pretty much every major press conference, Leslie Alexander is always there. Taking questions, saying the introductory statement, and the fact that he wasn't there was kind of a red flag that we probably should have noticed. But up until this point, it seemed like he was fully invested in this team, and not to say that he wasn't. It's possible that he just kind of came to this decision over time that, hey, it's time to hang it up. And, you know, Tad Brown was talking about it today. It's a grind to be an NBA owner, especially the kind of owner that Les was. Like, he wanted to be involved in everything. Like, he didn't do anything half-assed, right? And I think that's important because that took a lot of energy out of him. And being a guy in his 80s, I mean, you got to figure at some point he had to hang it up. And this is a pretty good time to hang it up. Franchises, the value of this organization as of this moment, Forbes estimates is $1.6 billion. I mean, that's the eighth most valuable franchise in the NBA. And I would think that'd go up just because of the sheer market size of Houston and the media presence in China.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be at least $2 billion if I had to guess. Just...
No, I think so too. I think what Bill Simmons tweeted made a lot of sense. I think having it go to like having it go to like 2.2, 2.3 billion made a lot of sense as a valuation point. Let's go ahead and talk about other stuff because I feel like we're starting to run out of stuff to talk about with this ownership. So the Rockets made some moves these past couple of days since the last time we recorded. First move. Tariq Black for the biannual exception, so that's about $3 million. It seems like it's just a one-year deal for the biannual. This kind of surprised me because I thought they'd use kind of the minimum for this backup center spot. The biannual seems like a lot. They seem like they were intent on saving that till the buyout market. But, I mean, they needed a backup center, and Tariq Black's not a bad option. I mean, it's on paper... $3 million for Tariq Black seems pretty reasonable. And they needed someone for when, you know, Nene rests, because Nene does take games off. And, you know, when he does, there's no backup center. They had Harrell there and they needed a replacement. So, I mean, this kind of makes sense. But, I mean, I thought they would save that biannual. I mean, maybe Dwayne Wade. Like, if Dwayne Wade or Carmelo Anthony or one of those guys gets bought out, you never know. That's why you save it, right?
Unless they do know. I don't know. Like,
no, you're right.
If you're going to get Dwayne Wade on your team, it's going to probably be for the minimum at this point anyway. I mean, like, they need a Tariq Black more than they need a Dwayne Wade anyway.
No, that makes sense. I mean, like, I'm not upset about the signing. It just took me aback. Like, you know, just last week on the Bill Simmons podcast, Daryl Morey was talking about how they were going to save that biannual, and they used it now. I mean, it's good value for Tariq Black, 25 years old, athletic center. You know, good replacement for Harrell. I mean, he dunks, defends, runs the floor. You know, exactly what you need in this system. And what I find scary about this is the Rockets are going to have an athletic big with Chris Paul and James Harden on the floor at all times. That's impossible to guard.
Black is going to get so many dunks. It's awesome.
On top of the dunks that Nene and Capella are going to get. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit, especially. I feel like he plays a lot like Nene, not as skilled offensively, but I think he can, you know, run to the rim and box out and just grab rebounds. He's a big, strong guy. I liked him in his first stint with Houston, and just the fact that, you know, Nanu is coming off like a pretty terrible summer league. He fills a need.
Yeah, I don't think Chinenu Nwaku is ready. Neither is Ochi. I think they needed to get a vet guy for right now, especially for a team like this that wants to contend. And you know, Mike D'Antoni probably wouldn't have played those guys anyways. I mean, I think this is a good signing. Other signing, which I thought was pretty huge and like great value, like amazing value, Luke Mbamute. I still can't pronounce the name right. Luke Richard Mbamute for the veterans minimum. That's insane. I can't believe you couldn't find a better deal on the market. Like that's insane value.
I bet he could have found a better deal on the open market, but I think he knew where he was going to have a good time and fit in well and maybe win a ring.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to figure Chris Paul was involved in the recruiting, former teammate of his, you know, in Los Angeles. And, you know, maybe he took less money to be with Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. I think this is a lot of Chris Paul influence, you know, same as PJ Tucker, who left a lot of money on the table. And actually, you know, like a month ago when I saw that Mbamute was going to be a free agent, I was like, oh, he'd be an interesting fit for the Rockets.
But I mean,
not thinking that the Rockets would have any money to get him.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you would think he'd get at least like Andre Roberson money, like at least $10 million a year. Like, that's how, I'm not even kidding, that's how good of a defender Richard Mbamute is. He's at least $10 million per year good, and he's going to be your backup wing. I mean, this team is loaded with capable wing defenders that can play multiple positions now. And that's,
hey, you know, the thing where fans of like super teams think that every player should sign with them for $0? This is why they think that way.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, this is kind of why Warriors fans think they can get anybody, right? I mean, like, this is... On the level of value of the Omri Caspi signing, I would say, it's like that's how good of a value signing this was for the Rockets. Rockets are going to have three versatile wing defenders on the floor at all times. That can play multiple positions. That can switch 2 through 4, which is huge in today's NBA and huge to defend the Warriors. This is a team that looks like it's being designed to beat the Warriors, or at least to stop the Warriors.
Because it outright is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're not being, you know, they're not trying to hide it. Like Daryl Morey said so many times in press conferences, they're trying to beat this Warriors team. They're being super aggressive in it, and they're getting these cheap deals. I mean, PJ Tucker was already a great signing for $8 million for the mid-level exception for 3 years. That was already a great value signing. And getting guys like Tariq Black and Luke Richard Mbamute. I mean, this team is going to be an awesome defensive team next year. I think so. I think like they were 18th in defense this year. I think they can. There's a pretty good chance they can jump into the top 10.
As though it's not like, I think it's all but certain at this point that they're going to be a top 10 defensive team. Like, they have so much defensive talent on that roster.
They do have a lot of defensive talent on this roster, and the way this team is being structured, like they're being structured to switch, which is really interesting because last year they definitely weren't structured to do so. With Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, Nene, like they didn't have requisite talent to switch. They did it pretty conservatively. I mean, Jeff Pizdelic, played a more modern, not a modern, a more conservative style of defense. And now he can do whatever the hell he wants, because he has the personnel to do it. And, you know, like, I think you can hide Ryan Anderson in crunch time. I think you can hide James Harden with all these capable defenders, and like,
you can hide Carmelo Anthony.
Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you get Carmelo Anthony, you guys want to talk about Melo?
I really don't, actually.
I think it's been kind of done to death. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's frustrating, right? Because like the Knicks, they seem to want to keep him now. The latest update since we last recorded is like, you know, before it felt like a done deal. Like he made Houston his primary target, and then the trade talks paused. Like, apparently they were at the quote unquote 2-yard line, and then like just a few days later, the Knicks decided, hey, I mean, like, they hired Scott Perry, and everything kind of went backwards. Like, they want to renegotiate a new deal because this new regime, and they want to bring Carmelo Anthony back in the fold, and Carmelo Anthony probably doesn't want it. Like he's fed up with this crap. And
yeah, well, he should be.
Yeah, I mean the Knicks are kind of treating him like crap, right? Like they talked about trading him all year. Now he's ready and able to accept a trade to the Houston Rockets, and the Knicks won't do it. Like they've trashed his trade value, and now they're complaining about offers they're not getting because they trashed his trade value. This is their fault. Like this happened under their own roof. Like the reason you're not getting anything for Carmelo Anthony is because everybody knows you want to trade Carmelo Anthony, and everybody knows that he has a no trade clause, and that, you know, I mean, it's unlikely he's going to waive to come to your team. This is all a doing of the Knicks. The Knicks gave him a no-trade clause for no reason whatsoever. Like, why did they give him a I still don't know why they gave him a no-trade clause. And
because they're a bad organization. I don't know what else.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like they have no one else to blame but themselves. And now, it's messy. I mean, it's messy. What odds would you put on the Rockets landing Carmelo at this point?
80% before training camp.
Yeah, I'm somewhere around there too. I think it's kind of a done deal.
Okay,
I don't know if I might be too optimistic, but I think it's kind of a done deal.
Okay, I'm gonna say 60% because I think there's still like a 30% chance that I still think there's a 30% chance he can return to the Knicks, and I still think there's like a 10% chance that he gets traded to another team, which we haven't discussed, but I mean, he's willing to waive his no trade clause to the Cavs, and the Blazers are desperately trying to, you know, convince him to come to Portland. Yeah, I mean, it's it makes a lot of sense for them to do so, and yeah, I mean, like the Rockets aren't the only team in the hunt. They seem to be the favorite, and like I would leave that 10% there. I would say 60%.
Yeah. Can I for a second, how hilarious it is that the Blazers are like, no, we're gonna do it. He's gonna want to come here. Why? For what purpose do you? How can they think this will happen? And why would they want this to happen? What's the point? What's the point for him? For them? For anyone? This is why the NBA is fantastic. Because sometimes a team which ordinarily like makes a lot of sense will come out and just like, yeah, I'm wearing pants on my head today, man. This is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the same team that signed Tim Hardaway Jr. to a $72 million offer sheet. Who the hell was going to offer Tim Hardaway Jr. $72 million, man? Like, did they think they had to put this kind of offer sheet in front of the Atlanta Hawks for them not to match? I have no idea what the hell the Knicks are doing. Like, I have no idea. Like, they're making the Kings look awesome right now. I mean, they gave a second round pick back to the Kings.
Yeah. If they end up just like forcing Melo to come back this season, they're not gonna be able to get anyone to sign with them for a while. Like that's another level of black eye on that team. Like, and I don't think a new GM wants to come in there with like players immediately not wanting to have anything to do with him. Like, I think it's. I mean, Ben Dubois kind of talked about this recently. But, like, it's probably worth it to try to make players have a little bit of respect for you when you're coming in.
Maybe. I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, like here's what you're doing right now. You're angering Carmelo Anthony. You're angering his camp. You're angering his agent. You're angering other players that see that this is how you treat your best player. Like, how are you going to treat me when I come there? And I'm like your sixth man, right? Like
Myers Leonard.
Yeah. Like this is kind of the message you're sending off. I mean, like, what the hell are you doing, Knicks? I mean, like, I have no answers. I mean, like, you're making yourself look really, really bad here. And the Knicks already look really, really bad. I don't know how the hell you're making yourself look worse, but you're doing it. You're doing it, Knicks. I mean, you traded a second-round pick for an assistant general manager that's been on the job for 4 months. I mean, just think about that. Like, you're a team that needs these assets to surround Kristaps Porzingis with young parts, and you're trading second-round picks for a general manager. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, there are other candidates on the market that you don't have to you don't have to poach. Like,
let me bring this full circle for you. Good owners matter. James Dolan is the best, and Les Alexander's, or James Dolan's on the worst, and Les Alexander's on the best. Don't let me get that wrong. Les is the best, and we're gonna miss Les forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to miss less. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the podcast. Give us a good rating even if you didn't enjoy the podcast. And yeah, guys, good night.